Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Yeah. This bad boy, baby. Yeah. Neptunes. And we won't stop.
Like this right here.
Cause we can't stop. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
That's not. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. I was on 125 in St. Nick. Chillin' with this chick named Tom DeLeo. Was a hot girl, and everybody wanted to slay her. But she wasn't fond of players, only wanted ballers and spoiler. Six figures and camcorders. So what you tryna tell me, dear? I got Bentley Benson and Mr. Belvedere. And I just wanna blow your mind. I'm talking literally blow your mind.
Turn the nonce off. No nonces on Mom's house, Peter Didlington. Peter Didlington, naughty man.
Shit is serious out here.
Yes, boy. Yo, Peter Didlington, man. Shit, he's been in the news,
Pete,
man.
Pete, we were going to get him on. We were going to get him on the pod.
Yo.
Because, you know, he was Peter Didlington came into the pod early, but fucking hell, we can never have him on now. He's broken
mate.
All the Arms House commandments.
Every single one, man.
The first rule now of Arms House commandments is don't be like Peter Didlington. That's it. That's rule number
one. Rule number one. All right, fair
I'm
enough.
Writing that down.
Right.
Because he's just suddenly set new rules.
Yeah, man.
Bad boy.
Exactly.
He's been a very bad boy.
In the headphones. That was disgusting.
Bad boy.
Yes, he's been a very bad boy. Allegedly. I mean, we have to reiterate that he hasn't actually at this point.
Allegedly, but the keys is a nonce, bro. 100% nonce. Everyone's come out and said he's a nonce.
At
Usher
this
says
moment,
he's a nonce. Cat Williams says he's a nonce. Fucking 50 Cent says he's a nonce.
Oh mate.
Do you remember the second Arms House commandment was this? If people are talking about you being a nonce,
yeah,
you can't have so many accusations from different individuals being a nonce. If you're not a nonce, you are obviously moving in some kind of noncing circle.
Yeah, and there's no smoke without fire, as they say.
I could have just said that. Thanks.
But also theme. Peter Didlington, he's been like quite a hated figure, like pretty much as far back as I can remember. No one really, I don't know anyone who was like mad props to P. Diddy, yo. You know,
that's
what I'm
saying? The thing.
Like, unless it
that's
came down, thing. Unless it came down to business, it was never about music. And we all know, I mean, people who have a slight interest in hip hop, yeah, whether it was Biggie or whether all the bad boy things, they know, even though he would be credited as producer or executive producer, he never really did any music himself. He never wrote his lyrics. He was very proud about announcing how he didn't write his own lyrics.
So shit. So shit.
He just like he was just one of them dudes.
Bad boy. Them kind of things in the background.
I mean, look.
But even what you're saying is true, and that filtered through into listeners of hip hop, like us, the people of hip, because nobody was like going out and trying to find P. Diddy records. And like you said, he was there all the time. He was there from like the majority of our life and fucking in listening to hip hop.
I mean, from the mid 90s
and at one stage,
onwards,
he was huge because he had everybody.
Yeah,
fucking
and he was all he was
Mace
all, and he was fuck. All in the videos, dancing in the background,
exactly.
Singing. Like he's like the equivalent theme.
If you want to come, get signed to a real record label. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want someone, you know, all up in your videos.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so dope. That is brilliant, that bit.
But he's kind of, actually, come to think of it now, Diddy is kind of
but
like...
But Maddie, I haven't finished.
All right,
that shit filtered through to even to listeners. But even as listeners, we were never like, he was basically allowed. People allowed it because of his links. With like Biggie Smalls, for example.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It was fucking huge.
Ultimately,
for me, I was confused. I was when back in them days, I was like, so who the fuck is this guy? It's kind of fucking, and I was really listening to rap back then, like listening to the bars and shit.
Of course.
I thought, who the fuck is this guy? Just chat shit in the background. And then because it's all on the TV shows as well, you see him all the time as well. And he actually does that. Just dancing on like some sand dunes, like in the back, in some noncy black leather jacket. He's always got like some long black leather jacket, dark shades, blatantly looking like a nonce in people's videos and shit.
And he'd be doing the Harlem Shake.
You know, but Harlem because Shake. He was amongst such fucking giants of the time, like Biggie Smalls, everything was Biggie Smalls and Puff Daddy, yeah. Biggie Smalls, Puff Daddy, you know, all that. Everything was Puff Daddy.
And the thing is, like, okay, he had his golden egg, which was Biggie Smalls, yeah? Like, you know, he rode that guy's coattails. Although it can be argued that P. Diddy helped Biggie, you know, get to the status that he did, you know what I mean? Like, he saw the potential in him and backed him, and you know what I mean? So I'm not saying, like, I'm trying to throw a little bit of rope here for P. Diddy.
All the shit with, like, Jadakiss and all of those guys where
he screwed over.
They were asking him for masters for forever.
Yeah.
And then he eventually hands over the masters when they're worth fucking dick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're all like, what the fuck's this? I think there's even bars about it from Jadakiss, I think. I can't remember where I've heard about it.
And also...
It was from Jadakiss.
The point I was going to make earlier before I forget, because I think it's a funny point. P. Diddy singing in the backgrounds, doing ad-libs and appearing in the music videos is the equivalent of... Remember Scheme? He was saying all the pieces he did on trains, Dez would always catch a tag underneath the train. So there'd always be a Dez tag in the picture of a Scheme piece on the side of a train. He'd always sneak in a little... So that's the P. Diddy equivalent of what P. Diddy was doing.
All right, sneaking in.
You know what I mean? Like in the background, you know when people
but sneaking like, in and handling all P's. He's like, yeah, I'll yeah, just go through
that's me, true. Bro. That's true. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he was the business side of things.
Fucking hell.
And he put together...
So like, he got a blag, basically. Everyone just allowed it at the time. But it didn't allow it about being a nonce and stuff like that. They allowed it of just like the reason he was there, because he was there for no reason.
Yeah.
And you were just everyone just accepted him and like, oh, all right, Puff Daddy, fucking hell.
And look, at the end of the day, I don't think... Is there, apart from speculation, is there serious allegations of him being a nonce? Because I heard it's about sex trafficking.
He's a nonce! Usher went to just go and live with him when he was 13. Usher was 13.
Okay.
Peter Diddlington was like 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
And he went to live with him for like a year and a bit.
Eesh.
So basically like saw that he was going to blow, said, right, you're coming with us.
Mm-hmm.
But what, even if Peter Diddlington didn't ask for that, yeah, and the mum said, oh, please take my son for a year and a half. As a 21-year-old geezer with a 13-year-old, he'd be like, no, what are you talking about? Well, you live with me for a year and a half. He's fucking, he's nobody. I mean, we do it.
Isn't it?
And then all of a sudden he becomes Usher. Fucking hell, bruv. The geezer was 13.
Did Usher come out? Has Usher come out and said, yo, P. Diddy, fuck me? No, he hasn't. So I'm just saying, he did some noncey things, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate.
I said, yo, did P. Diddy fuck me?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Because that's
he hasn't come out and said, yo, Peter Diddlington ravished me.
I'm playing devil's advocate, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to try and be rational amongst, like, the man.
I'm prosecuting, yeah? And you're defending.
Yeah, fair enough. But the thing is, I don't want to defend, I'm not defending P. Diddy. It's just, I hate, lynching by social media. Yeah. Everyone's just pulling shit out of their ass, left, right, and center, going, look, this is P. Diddy. He's like, look what he said here. That means he's a nonce. Oh, look, he's hugging on Justin Bieber. That means he fucked him. Oh, look, he's doing it. Like, none of this is evidence of anything, people. Yeah. Like, have you heard that? You mentioned it before.
Of two geezers having sex, and they're saying it's Peter Diddlington and Meek Mills.
Yeah, or some shit like that. That's obviously just so stupid. It's just, just the sound of two men going at it. Oh, it's so stupid. And
bruv,
he's
fled the country.
Yeah.
He's paid off that other bird before, out of court.
But the point is, that I was making is that his allegations aren't for noncing, unless I'm missing something, is for sex trafficking. Yeah? That's what I understand the situation. That's why his two houses got raided.
Coercion, sexual, there's like bare sexual charges, no?
Yeah, but not, I'm talking specifically noncing. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it's true. I don't know, but I'm just saying. Like,
look at Justin Timberlake.
People get carried
look
away.
Look at everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of them are dead. Those dudes are all dead.
Oh, like Shine.
Don't know if, you're like, if there's other kind of shit. Biggie's fucking dead.
Without a doubt, there's shady shit going. Yeah, like without a doubt, like, you know, in the music industry and dealing with people like that and in the 90s and, you know, hip hop and gangster rap and all this, of course, there was mad shady shit happening. Now, and when it comes to like the allegation of sex trafficking, now immediately in your head, you think, oh, he's smuggling in women from Albania.
85 Polish birds in like a tiny
chaining them up to a wall and like fucking the shit out of them.
That's what I think.
But you know what? Nah, if you have a private jet and you have 7 strippers on board, yeah, and you're paying them all and you fly from, you know, New York to fucking, I don't know, Canada.
Texas.
Yeah, that's sex trafficking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying that could fall under sex trafficking at the end of the day. Yeah, I mean, you're trafficking some sex workers over state lines. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily, like, you know, these images that sex trafficking conjures up. Again, I'm not defending P. Diddy. He may well be getting Albanian bitches, but I'm just saying there's no, like...
Amber was on a plane with P. Diddy! They were banging everyone, Lil' Kim!
I like this right here.
I like this.
No. Listen, because the thing is, okay, theme, before we get deep.
Multiple civil lawsuits and sexual trafficking, but yeah. Being part of a sexual trafficking ring.
And the thing that he fled to wherever he fled, where he can't get extradited from, is a very guilty move. It seems like a very guilty move. But then again, if you're a rich, fucking super rich guy, you got mad, super hot lawyers on your side, they're going to probably recommend you do that. They're going to go, look, just go there, let it die down. You know, we don't want you just getting, you know, like, I'm sure they would just recommend him to do that. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fucking lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he does look mad guilty. And I'm sure he's done some fucked up shit. You know what I'm saying? So, and also, he's a prick. So fuck that guy.
Yeah,
you know,
at the end of the day. He's such. That's what I used to think about. I used to think the Gizkis is a fucking dick.
Theme. Not only
when it got to the stage when Biggie Smalls died and he released that song.
Oh, mate.
Missing you or something. Yeah. Do you remember that video?
And he fell off the motorbike. And they just like took the sting. Listen, theme, that goes into the thing I want to bring up, yeah? Because I'm not trying to defend Diddy because I personally think P. Diddy ruined hip hop. Yeah? Let me break this down for you for one second.
Heard, and I need you to break it down. I need to hear this.
I personally think he ruined hip hop because when he started. Like Bad Boy Records, yeah? And then they were, you know...
Bad Boy.
And they were like blowing up in the like mid to late 90s, yeah? After Biggie's first album, you know what I mean? He was just everywhere in the charts, yeah. Especially in the hip-hop R&B charts.
Yeah. Everywhere.
But it was also at the same time that what they call backpack hip-hop was happening at the time, where real left, you know... like experimental sampling, really creative, fucking amazing music was coming out of that side, production-wise and emceeing and everything like that. Okay, yeah, a lot of shit as well. I'm not saying all of it was amazing, but there was some incredible stuff coming out, you know, from Raucous Records and all that. That was blowing up at the same time Diddy was blowing up. And also around this time, the legality issues of sampling was, I mean, it's still an issue to this day. There's people going to court over samples and all these things. But what P. Diddy was doing with his, he had a place.
Diddy, even the name, yeah. What P. Diddy Daddy. Was doing.
Peter Diddlington.
You can't even say it, can you? P. Diddy.
I'm a savage! Oh!
What he was fucking doing, yeah? He had a production house where he would get producers and they would be in-house producers for him. One of them notably being Easy Mo B, who did a lot of Biggie's first album. Then he had, who else did he have? And he had a bunch of people, yeah? But he would instruct them.
On Bad Boy
Records. On Bad Boy Records, they'd be, I wish
The
I
Locks.
Had-
they had The Locks.
Yeah, only for Faith a short, Evans, short amount of time. Mace, but they weren't producers.
Craig Mack.
Listen,
are just producers.
I'm talking about production. I'm going into my theory of how P. Diddy ruined hip hop. Okay? So, me as a beat maker and a sampler, you know what I mean? I love that aspect of hip hop. That has been lost in this day and age now because it used to be the mainstream, yeah? When P. Diddy and all them lot, he took it to a point where he was just straight looping some of the most famous songs already from the 80s and 60s and 70s. He was literally finding the biggest hit from there, finding how, like, the least amount of licensing he had to pay to the estate. And then he'd just literally take the most recognizable loop from that famous song, maybe pump up the drums a tiny bit. And I'm not saying P. Diddy did any of this. I'm talking to the producers. He'd give it to them and say, look, loop that up, put some drums on it. Boom, we got a hit. It's the easiest, most laziest, in my opinion, way of creating a hit. Yeah, because it's obvious. If you loop this, okay, look, listen to this. If you loop this,
you know it's gonna be
record
a hit.
By Calling the Gang, you're gonna...
You ready, Mace?
Party people, in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to... Yeah, what you know about going out, head west, red legs, TVs, all about...
Right, that's Hollywood Swinging by Calling the Gang. An amazing, mega, massive hit. But he just looped it up, put some drums on it, and then got his mate Mace to rap on it. And Mace, have you seen Mace, what he said about Peter Diddlington? Just now, because he does Mace and... Mace and, what's his name, Cameron, they got a show. Now, I think it's an online show where they chat and they do the pause game a lot where, you know, if you say something that sounds a little bit gay, they go, yo, pause, B. Yo, pause. Yeah. Yo, like, you know, I let him come in, to, you know what I mean? Oh, pause, B. You know, just stupid shit. I hate that fucking game. But anyway, they do it. But now he's saying, instead of saying pause, he's going, no Diddy. He's like, yo, man, no Diddy. Anyway, yeah, but also Mace has got a history with P. Diddy. P. Diddy screwed him over a lot of money, you know what I mean? So Mace has been gunning
for... He's
known
for that as well. He's known for doing that.
That's what he did. He did so many one-hit wonders, came through. So like I'm saying, this kind of feeds into my point as well. He would get an artist, didn't matter who the fuck they were, as long as they... If it was a woman, as long as she looked sexy. If it was a dude, as long as he was a bit gangster and fit that fucking mold, he'd do one big hit for them, make bare money off of them, and then dash them off the label. You know what I'm saying? He did that to so many people, man. Remember that tune? Oh, I wish I had it ready. Special Delivery. Special Delivery. Do you remember that fucking one? Who was that name? G Depp or something? No, what was his name? G Depp, I think, that rapper. He just did that one song, and then P. Diddy fucked him off. And he did the same to Shine as well. After Biggie died, that dude Shine, who sounded like Biggie, like, he did a couple of tunes with him and dashed him off. Then he became a mad rabbi, like, and he went to live in Israel or something. I think he passed away now. I'm not sure. But anyway, so him doing that with no shame, yeah? Because in the hip-hop communities, by the time it came to the late 90s, doing that, just looping a rago loop, was a no-go zone. People in... You would never see DJ Premier doing that. You would never see Pete Rock doing that. They were diggers. They would dig for obscure records and then cut them up. And then, yeah, I mean, a lot of them maybe, you know, they tried to work around paying the artist they were sampling. You know, they'd chop it up and rearrange the thing so that it was so undecipherable they wouldn't have to pay that artist royalties. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, some of them would get caught up in law cases, whatever, you know what I mean? But P. Diddy was just unashamedly just going, I'm looping this Diana Ross fucking sample, yeah? And we're doing a hit. It's even got Diana Ross in the background, yeah?
At the same time, no one was doing that.
But it's not no one was doing it. No one would bother doing that. No one would bother doing that because the Diana Ross song was already a hit.
At least there was an area for it. It had never been done before.
No.
Like if someone did it now, it wouldn't work.
You know? No, it'd been done.
Time and a space element to it as well. No, time and a place.
It was done from one of the very first hip hop records, Sugar Hill Gang. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. That's a Chic record. It was a straight loop from the Chic record. That's one of the first.
But we're saying I thought you were saying Diddy just completely like looped the most famous bit and that was it and then just put that on.
That's what I'm saying he did. And he did that at a time
No one was making those kind of like overly cheesy.
Yeah, we'd moved on from that.
But still
that was
keeping
happening.
It a little bit gangster kind of route that they were trying to go down.
That was happening in the 80s, looping straight up fucking famous songs. And then we became, I thought, more developed. Like I said, people like Premier and Pete Rock. I'm naming obvious people, but, you know, Ono, fucking Madlib, fucking whoever, you know what I'm saying? They weren't taking these obvious loops. It was like a serious no-go type thing, you know, amongst hip-hop producers. Yeah, yeah. But P. Diddy didn't give
a fuck.
Come
up with your own shit, son. You got to show you've been digging.
And he wasn't doing it off, you know, oh, yeah, because, you know, I'm trying to do this with... No, he was doing it because he knew it was going to make money. It was like a easy money maker, you know? And from that greed... He eventually, so I think he created so many lawsuits, yeah, by using these loops that now record labels don't touch hip hop producers who use samples, yeah, because they're just scared now. They'd rather go to the producer who doesn't use samples, hence why trap and that stuff started blowing up, and grime to a degree, because they didn't predominantly use samples, you know? So for the record label, they're like, okay, cool. We don't have to worry about that side of things. That's hip hop now. And for me, it ruined it, man. You know what I'm saying? So fuck P. Diddy, man. Peter Diddlington, you motherfucker.
Peter Diddlington is not welcome on this podcast.
Yo. Yes, he is a savage motherfucker. What else came out now? I mean, what else did I see with the Puff Daddy thing, man? Fucking hell, he's such a cunt.
His kids were nicked in handcuffs, posted all over the internet. Man. You've flown to another country and buoyed your own kids off.
Nah, well, yeah, exactly. But his kids are grown. They're like in their 20s, right? I think. I don't know. Oh man, it's mad, man. It's mad to see.
Both and the thing is,
it's also mad to see the joy and the glee everyone has, like when a powerful person figure gets taken down. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's just reveling in joy about it. You know, and like yeah, P. Diddy, he's a cunt. Fuck that guy. But
you called yourself P. Diddy. You know what I mean? Bad things were coming from day one.
Apparently, he changed his name again. Like he was called Puff Daddy. And then he was called Sean Combs or whatever when he did his clothing
Sean
label.
Sean Puffy Combs.
And then he changed it to P. Diddy for some fucking stupid reason. But now apparently his name is Love. Just Love. Apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently. I heard the other day. I mean, I don't keep up with fucking P. Diddy news, man. Fuck I mean, God, I didn't before this shit Love. Kicked off.
How convenient.
In it, man.
You fucking nonce. Imagine telling the kids that. What's your name, though? My name's Love.
Love.
My name's Big Daddy Love.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
You're like, no, daddy, no, daddy, no.
I'm trying to think of other weird shit I've been seeing of people just like mad interviews with him or just discuss. Like, there's one thing I saw with him and Kevin Hart and Usher, actually. It was Usher and P. Diddy. And they were reminiscing about in P. Diddy's house. And Diddy was saying how, oh, we used to wrestle over the cereal in the morning or something, yeah. And Kevin Hart just starts gunning him, going, I can't believe you just admitted that. You two had a wrestle? Like, he was only 13, bro. Like, he starts gunning him in this interview. But, like, as a joke, you know what I mean, in the interview. But now, and when you watch it now, so many things just have a different connotation now, you know?
Usher look like he fresh off a goddamn plane. Usher
fresh off the guard stage. That's my brother right here from day one. We used to wake up and... I mean, damn, pause, but like, check this out. I mean, back in the days when he was like 10 and I was a little bit older, his older brother, we used to fight over the Frosted Flakes, you know what I'm saying, before pause was invented, you know what I'm saying? But it's my brother for real. We used to actually wrestle off of the Frosted Flakes because he used to always get up early with me. Now he's one of the richest stars in the world. And I'm
yo,
like,
what the fuck did Puff just say? Nobody's going to acknowledge this for me. Puff just said we used to wrestle over the Frosted Flakes, and we're streaming live. That was stupid. Listen, that was fucking stupid. Listen.
It's mad how that happens as well. It's crazy.
He brought Justin Bieber a Lamborghini when he was like 16, 17.
I mean, man. Yeah, again, it's like rich people things, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, Wait. One of the allegations, that was it. There's a guy who used to produce for him as part of his production group. It was called Little Ron or Little Rod, Little Roddy Little or Rod. Something. I can't remember. Something like that. Apparently, he was on Diddy's yacht, and it was P. Diddy and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Were
on the boat, and apparently Cuba
Gooding Jr. P. Diddy's walking around trying to give everyone a blouse.
and Cuba Gooding Jr.
I've heard about that.
Apparently, Cuba Gooding Jr. is getting dragged into this as well now. Like, apparently, he was trying to touch up Little Rod and trying to make inappropriate advice.
Peter fucking Diddlington, bruv.
And what else? There was another thing. There's loads of shit coming out now. Fuck, who else was down with him, man? Oh, yeah. In 1999, there was a big case where he was involved in some shooting in a club, I think, in New York. This is when he was married or going out with J-Lo at the time. I don't think they got married, but maybe they did get married. I can't remember. Him and J-Lo were together. And obviously J-Lo at the time...
I thought about them and them two together for a billion years.
She was the hottest woman on the planet at that time as well.
She was J-Lo.
She was the J-Lo at the time, yeah? And they were going out and there was a club. Again, I can't remember all the incidences, but it was P. Diddy and Shine, that rapper Shine. This happened in 99, so this was after Biggie died. They're in a club, him, J-Lo and Shine. I think a woman gets shot and killed, and everyone in the club said it was Puff Daddy who did it, the eyewitnesses. But then when it got to court, Shine stepped up and said it was him. And there were allegations that J-Lo was the one who smuggled the gun into the club.
So there's bare verses about that.
And everyone got let off except for Shine. He basically, this is the consensus, is that he took the rap. Like, Diddy paid him money, said, look, just take the rap for this. You're going to spend a couple years in jail, then you'll come out. I'll take care of you. I'll pay you this much money, blah, blah, blah. This is the speculation that happened. And now all the court case from that time, from 99, is being re-brought up now, saying that people were withholding information. P. Diddy apparently was... threatening the witnesses or something, and all these other things are coming out. And now J-Lo is going to have to come out and I don't know, they're going to have to find out if she was a gun mule, as they're calling it, like she was smuggling the gun through.
But you can't trial the same thing twice, no?
I have no idea. Maybe there's that thing. What they call it, double indemnity or something? I think there's a word for it where you can't go to trial for the same thing twice. But maybe if the first trial they find that there's something interfered with that file, maybe with that trial, maybe they can bring it back up again.
Well, they're just using it as like a proof of his character.
Maybe
there's loads of people saying the same sort of shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
many people saying stuff. These people talking about money. These people talking about birds. And these people talking about kids, all against you. You've done something wrong, mate.
Yeah. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. But again, just to play devil's advocate, if you're a powerful, very rich businessman like that, you don't get to a point like that without pissing people off, man. You know what I'm saying? Or you know what I mean? Doesn't necessarily mean you've done anything illegal. I'm just saying, yeah? In this day and age, we should be innocent until proven guilty, ultimately, yeah? But... now in the day and age of social media, as we've already said.
I'm a savage!
Oh! He's a savage, motherfucker. Savage. I mean, man. What else is coming back out from back in the day? I mean, oh, man. So many things, man. I can't even think right now. I mean, we got a lot of other things to go through this episode.
Yeah, let's finish. Let's call this the end of Peter Diddlington on the
We want to know, the listeners, man, leave a comment and let us know what you think. Do you think Peter Diddlington is guilty or not guilty, or innocent until proven guilty? Or let us know your thoughts on the matter. Yeah.
Bad boy.
Let us know your bad boy dripping thoughts.
All right, we got a couple of questions that have been sent in by listeners. Thank you, guys. Keep sending them in. You can send them either in the DMs of the Instagram, or you can email us. The email is below. And you can also send us your graffiti. We got graffiti critique as well.
Critique.
Now, we can either go into one of those pieces you sent me, just a sick pieces that you've sent, or we can go into a question. What do you reckon? theme. Which one do you want to do first?
This, I'm looking at the one of the photos I sent you. Because boy, oh fucking boy.
Oh yeah, you know. I forgot. This is, we got to give one of these to Mr. Peter Didlington. Let's chat about one of these pieces. I want to chat about the Casby one, but which one do you want to talk about?
I'm just thinking about, is Peter Didlington's mum alive? She should be going around her house. Bringing arms to your mum's house.
You want to bring it? Oh, right, to his mum's house. Yeah, we can go, man. I don't know if she's still about or not. Oh, you know, P. Diddy's dad was some big time gangster guy who ended up getting shot and killed. He was like a big gangster motherfucker, apparently. And P. Diddy, he was a dancer before he became what he became. And he was a runner for a record company. I can't remember which one. Jive Records. I think he worked for Jive. He was a runner at Jive Records. But he was a he was dancing in music videos and shit before he even became Puff Daddy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was in it for a long time.
And another thing I've heard people say about him is that he was the hardest working guy. You know what I mean? People would say, like, yo, if there's one thing about Diddy is that he can fucking, you know,
he'll get you a platinum disc.
Yeah, he doesn't stop working, you know what I mean?
Just let him suck you off two or three times, you go on platinum, son.
You know what? I just want to mention this so that I remember to mention it in another podcast, but it's a mad story with my sister, the Sheikh of Abu Dhabi, and P. Diddy at... You know the jeweler? You know the jeweler Jacobs? Something Jacobs or something? They were at a thing. Anyway, there's a little link there, story. It's such a fucking crazy story. I want to tell that, but not today. Yeah, I'll tell it maybe next week.
Oh, you're not going to tell it?
No, it'll take too long, man. It's a long
story. So at the moment, it's a cool story.
It's just I wanted to put it out there because I want to definitely bring this up in the future, man. It's crazy story, man. But, all right, let's go into a question. Thinking
which photo to send you, man, which photo to discuss.
Can I mean, you sent me two.
Or Sensi. They're both fucking dope. The Sensi.
All right, man. Killer piece. It says it was...
Do you think that's a nice... Ah, if I turn it around, it doesn't go.
It says Stockholm. Is it from Stockholm, Sweden?
I don't know.
It says at the top there, the location... Yeah. But this is from an Instagram post by The Graph Depository. It says Sensi. It's a mad, colorful piece, pretty much wild style, old school. Looks mad 80s to me. It could be, no, 88 there at the bottom. It says 88.
But look at the fucking S's.
Fucking hell, man. I love these letters, the connections, the arrows, the schemes, the 3D. Look at
the schemes, bruv. The schemes in the schemes.
It's got the thick border around the outside. It's not massively thick border, but it's there, though. I just love it. And you can tell it's all done in shitty car paint, but it just looks so beautiful.
Exactly. But the letters as well, man.
Sensi, S-E-N-S-I.
1988 doing that.
Woo-wee.
With shit paint.
Just look at that 3D. It's so like white down rock 3D with the curved bits with the, you know, black outline. So it's like got curved bits on the corner. Like it's like kind of semicircles, you know, only the curved bits at the top. It's not like at the bottom as well. And he's only done it on, you know, oh man, it just looks sick, man. I love these types of pieces, man. They make me cream my jeans. You know what? That's I'd even go beautiful. As far as to say...
I like this right here.
Easy peeps. Just want to let you know that we still have some Arms House t-shirts left. Medium, large, and extra large. So hit us up quick before they're all gone. Wherever you are in the world, I'll ship it to you wherever you are. Hit us up on the Instagram DMs or email us. All the links and information is in the description below. Now, back to the show.
Later on, John. Let's go into a question.
All right, let's go into a question.
Who sent in the question?
You know what? I leave it to them to... They if they mention it
before, then... play the question whilst I get another bit.
All right.
Yes, yes. It's Jazz Gahina, hey, aka Bombina, from Armed Tavern to Your Mum's Cavern. And my question is, what was the first video game you played and on what platform?
What was the first
top question video game, to be fair?
And on what platform? I mean, for me, it would be most likely would be on an arcade, you know, in an arcade playing Street Fighter 2. No, I would have played something before that. What was the first console that you owned, theme, that you got? As
I remember playing the first game. I've been thinking about this. The first game I reckon I played was that game where you had the blocks at the top of the screen. And the ball used to ping off it, and he had to move the bar.
The little platform.
And I think it was Commodore Atari 64. Atari 64 or Commodore 64.
Was the controller like a
cartridge?
Ball?
You put it in the top. No, I think the controller was the keyboard.
Stick? Ah, okay, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and if you had a joystick, you could plug it in.
You know, and I'm getting mad.
Actual controller. Commodore 64 or Atari 64. And I remember going to fucking Brentford Fountain Leisure Centre just to try and play Street Fighter when because they had a Street Fighter and Outrun or something.
They had both Street Fighter 2 at Gurnell Swimming Pool. I used to go to Gurnell. It's 20p. I used to always make sure I had my 20p's. I'd go for a little swim with my family, and then I'd always make sure I'd get a couple of games in. Yeah, and if there was like
and
a...
And then some older kid would come over and just whip, Hadouken, you know, you have to go.
I remember there was a little kid who came up once, and I was maybe 14, 15, and the little kid came up once, and I'm playing, and he was like, can I play? And I'm like, hell yeah, get on. I was going to whip his ass, and he chose E Honda, and all he did was, hoi, 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 hoi,
100 hand slap.
I couldn't beat the kid. I was so fucking, yeah, because oh man, he pissed me off so fucking much, that kid. But no,
my kids play Street Fighter 2 when we bring the mini. I got the mini SNES. It's got fucking 25 SNES games on it.
Yeah, but Street Fighter 2 Turbo, it's got to be the Turbo one. Yeah,
Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah, man.
Well remembered, Manny.
We used to play that all the fucking time.
But do you remember that game? The first game I played, that was a sick game.
Yeah,
and the balls would get thin. You could extend and like energize your bar. So your bar could go faster or be longer.
Yeah, exactly. It would grow.
And you wanted to get bare points. And then there was another game. I used to be mad into games.
I remember I had
Commodore. I didn't have Commodore 64.
Yeah.
That was too early for me to like clock on. I lived in Shepherd's Bush and the geese around the corner had one. Yeah, we spent, this is amazing. And then I got, first thing I got was a NES. And Alex Soverly, I don't even know if Alex Soverly is alive. Big up Alex Soverly.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Back in the days in Bush, people came over from former Yugoslavia because there was a fucking war.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I remember him telling me about it when we were playing these kind of games. I had a NES.
Yeah.
Alex Soverly got the Sega Master System.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to Sega Mega Drive. Do you remember Amit Uri? Big up Amit Uri. Yeah, Uri had the Sega Mega Drive. So it was all Sonic and shit like that around his.
Yeah.
And then me and Saul Milton got SNESes. Because by then, Saul had everything. Saul had like the robot. Do you remember the robot that could fucking play the NES? Like your brethren. You could get a laser and you could get this geezer who's a robot. And he would hold the controller.
No, I never remember
for
that.
For the NES.
I don't remember that shit. Listen to me, theme. I will never forget my first computer system that I got, that my parents bought me, was the ZX Spectrum 122K. I think it was 124K ZX Spectrum. You put like, it was cassette tapes. And I'd watched, me and Frez, had watched.
I remember.
We'd watched RoboCop, So this is very early 90s, maybe late 80s,
Kind of games back then, RoboCop and shit was sick.
So I remember just wanting that game RoboCop, going to the shop in Ealing, buying the cassette tape, and then getting it in. Remember loading it up. He's going, wing, bong, ding, and it'd just be like a load. It's going to take fucking ages. And then all you could do, it was like a scrolling. And you could shoot straight ahead You could shoot diagonally and you could shoot straight upwards. And there was just people sticking their heads out of windows. I just fucking loved that game. Well, I just loved the movie. So then, you know, obviously the game, I loved it anyway. I was easily impressed. Yeah, I remember
RoboCop on the RoboCop was sick.
Yeah, and then...
Me and my brother, we had fucking everything. What did you have after that?
Well, that's the thing. My parents were mad stush, man. They didn't get me jack shit, man. Like, I had to go around to my mate's place to play the snares or play the, you know, Super Mario and all that. So I never really got good at any games. My mates would kick my ass at fucking, you know, Mario Kart. That was the most frustrating thing. I was playing Mario Kart and getting lapped, you know?
Do you remember Mario Kart on the N64? There was like eight controllers and every man just completely leaves. But the absolute nuts of Mario Kart with all the skid turns and shit. Which is completely fucking League of Legends.
Rainbow Road, you know what I mean? Rainbow Road and like the ghost one. And just like, oh, mate, people were just, I saw some next level people playing that game. And on Street Fighter to a certain degree. I never really excelled at any game. But
did you prefer Nintendo or Sega?
I loved Sonic, to be honest. I was a big Sonic. Oh, yeah. I ended up getting a Game Gear. Do you remember
the Sega Game Gear?
Yeah, I got the Game Gear. The Game Gear was ill. With Sonic, and then there was the Batman game on there as well. I think, if I remember correctly. Oh, shit. Nah, Game Boy is the original, though. The Game Boy.
Yeah, but Sega, what was it called? Sega Game.
Game Gear. The Game Gear.
Was color.
Yeah, it was in color. And the Sonic.
Long before Game Boy was color.
Crazy. Yeah, that was next level.
Game Boy Color came out way, way, way later. Yeah, way later.
Yeah, man.
Bruv, that was the nuts. My uncle had one of them.
I had one. I eventually.
That was sick. I'm going to buy one of them on eBay tomorrow. I love that kind of shit.
Yeah,
the game. I can't believe I haven't thought of that.
Yeah, and there was the game, what was it? Streets of Rage, I think it was called.
Rage, baby. And do you know what I've got now? I've got a Sega Mega Drive Mini and a SNES Mini right now.
You can get on the Sega Mega Drive, you can get one of my favorite games, which was Golden Axe. Yeah, Golden Axe, the arcade I used to play all the time. But then when it came out on the Mega Drive, I was playing it on that as well.
I got it, bruv. Do you remember Echo the Dolphin, bruv?
Echo the Dolphin.
Streets of Rage 2, bruv.
Mate. Those were killer games. But Jazz Kahina, thank you for this question. But she's talking about early. So I'd say ZX Spectrum, and it was the RoboCop game. And I remember specifically, there was another game with a character who looked like Indiana Jones. You know, the hat and the whip and stuff. But he was an egg.
Castlevania.
Remember the name of it, but I remember the front cover. Castlevania
was the nuts with the whip. He's the whip, the Castlevania bats. Castlevania was fucking the...
But I did have a Game Boy early on, and a Tetris, obviously, and the Mario games on there. I was addicted to the submarine levels and the crazy shit, and the Batman game on the Game Boy. The Batman game on the Game Boy was my shit, man. I love that shit.
Sega Game. What's it called? Sega Game Gear.
Game Gear. Yeah, man.
You could pick one up.
And there was a couple of driving games I loved as well.
Outrun!
Yeah.
Outrun! When the night used to come in, the fucking Outrun! And then the road used to go like orange and black lines. Yeah. And you were fucking like, sick.
This shit was classic.
R-Type.
R-Type.
So me and my brother, we had Nez. Mm. He was too young to be busting with me. That I was basically that on my J's. And then SNES. And then N64. That's the one after that, isn't it? Yeah. SNES, N64. And then my brother got a fucking GameCube.
Oh, shit.
By then, I think I'd left.
I never had a GameCube.
I never got the Wii.
Never got the Wii.
And now me and the kids have got the game Nintendo Switch.
I remember my brother getting the Wii, and then we played the band game. He had all the,
is the best game.
He got the guitar bit and the drum kit. He had the whole set. It was quite fun, to be honest, for a little while. It was quite fun. I'm not even kidding. I'd be like, I can actually play a guitar, you know. And I'd be like, nah.
Sick.
That was quite fun.
Outrun, bruv, when the day turned to night and it went to orange and then purple, bruv, and he was still in the race. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know? It was fucking unbelievable.
Later on with the PlayStation.
Do you remember when Super Mario 3 came out?
Do you like remember the hype when that came out?
Is that when you could become the
badger? That's when you could fly a little bit with your
the tail thing.
Yeah. Fucking hell, bro.
Was it a badger?
Couldn't get it. You couldn't get it.
Yeah. Well, there was the Super Nintendo Famicom, which was the Japanese.
Some people had the Famicom. Yeah,
yeah, Famicom.
People in
our
school who had the Famicom.
And they were, and then when you played Street Fighter 2, there was Balrog and M. Bison. They changed the names for some reason in the English version.
Because of Mike Tyson and...
yeah, that was it. Yeah, M. Bison. Yeah, I remember that messing me up when I was a kid. And I was like, how come the name? I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I remember a mate of mine had the Famicom early, man. He was getting all the early games and shit, man. Yeah.
Famicom,
yeah, whatever it's fucking called, man.
Fucking hell. Now I'm playing Mario Kart 8 against the Utes.
Man, I can't even remember last time I even picked
have
the
fucking
controller.
Splits it into three, and that is sick, bruv. And the Mario Kart now is fucking ridiculous.
I bet it's crazy, man. Ridiculous. But still, I don't think anything beats the original Super Mario Kart. The gameplay on that game. Okay, it's simpler.
I think N64 Mario Kart is the best.
You think? Okay. It's a contender for sure.
Yeah, the SNES, because it was so like far ahead compared to the SNES one in graphics and shit.
It was.
Anyway, we're geeking out about the old school days.
I'm sure the people in the comments, during the premiere when we watched, when people watched premiere, big up the early bird crew.
But do you remember how much of a Batman you felt? Your mum, she couldn't remember any of the wires or see like past any of the shit. There was always like a Nintendo or a Sega plugged in. She's fucking go and clean this fucking up. Or she couldn't watch the TV and it had that box. Do you remember the box? You plugged in the cable and it had the switch. From TV to aerial.
Yeah.
And you could be like, no, man. And you like walk up to it as like an 11-year-old lad. Just gotta go over here, just do that, man. Turn the side back. And TV comes on. Just let me know if you need anything else, man. I got this, you know what I mean?
In it. Oh,
do you remember, but how many times, mate, we used to get called down? Andrew! You're like, well, come down. I want to record this. It's not recording, man. He says, can you not record? And you're like, man, just give me the fucking controller. You press this.
Bro. I'm still getting it to this day, man. Like, my mum just doesn't
Don't go over your mum's tapes.
Recording tapes and shit. Man.
Who's gonna over countdown, you fucking hell, man?
Oh, man.
The days. Big up, Jessica Hina.
Big up,
Sorry
Jess,
for geeking
man.
Out a bit too long about
You game, sent us down a mad rabbit hole, man. All right.
But it's brilliant playing with the Utes on the games now.
Yeah, man. I need to get a console, man. I want to get one because I
get
used to
love
playing.
Get a Sega Game Gear, bruv.
No, look, I don't want to play it. I want to play Battlefield online against other people, with the voice set thing. Like, I used to love doing that.
No. But you don't want to do that shit. You'll never come out.
I'll never come out. Yeah, it's true.
Do you know what I'm going to do, bruv? I am talking to games.
Mm.
Like the most anticipated game, the biggest game of all time is Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, mate. Love that game.
Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming out in 2025.
Have you seen the clip? Have you seen the promo clip? It's a woman. It's
I will
a Latina.
Buy a brand, whatever
it's a
it
Latina.
Is by then.
It's a Latina.
Exactly. Whatever it is by then, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll buy it.
Oh, 100%.
The machine and the DVD.
Got
it. And just rinse it for like a... But I think that's how I would do it. But now I can't rinse it. Well, how am I going to fucking rinse it with the fucking missus?
Yeah, it's true.
And kids.
It's true. Unlucky, mate.
Spend however much money that'll be by then just to play that game. It's going to be sick.
Oh, mate. Yeah. And again, just to drop it in there, Red Dead Redemption 2, I fucking love that. I think that's probably my ultimate game of all time, I think, is Red Dead Redemption 2.
I'm just going to wander off into the wilderness and get lost and like kill a few buffalo.
I'd just go fishing, catching all the special fish, just traveling around the map, catching all the fish. I loved it, man. all right, moving on. Next question sent in by listeners. Thank you for sending this in. Let's go.
You get me.
Hi, this is Claire. I'm in Australia, living in the UK.
Oh.
I was wondering about the rules for Hall of Fames. When can one go over an older piece, and who shouldn't you paint over, especially when you're just starting?
You get that? I mean, standard question, you know, she's a beginner. Claire from Australia, I think she said, living in the UK. She might be a beginner or something, and she wants to know about the rules of the Hall of Fame, man. I mean, really, nowadays, the rules have all gone out the fucking window. There used to be rules. But there's no rules.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is if you're painting somewhere at a spot that you've never painted before, it's kind of difficult to do, but maybe try and learn. Maybe, you know, if you bump into people there or something, or online or something, I don't know how kids do it nowadays. Maybe try and learn about the area. Maybe who's the prominent figure. Don't go over that person, because if they catch you down there, who knows what might happen. But if you're a young lady down there, I couldn't see. They might take your paint. I mean, I don't know, man. But
nah, I go around legals thinking I do whatever I want.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Doesn't matter who's nowadays. There. Nowadays, it doesn't really matter, man. Just go over anything. Just maybe, I mean, as an etiquette thing.
Anyone came down, you said, what am I supposed to do? I'm fucking painting here. Do
you know what I usually do now at a legal? It's never like come up as an issue or anything, but I usually take a picture of the wall first and then I go over it. Yeah. Just in case, if that person I went over goes, oh, I never got a flick of it. Oh, you went over it, or some sort of drama, or let's say it's dogged or something. I'll take a picture just as proof. You know what I mean? Go, look, mate, it was dogged. If someone, but it's never happened. No one's ever fucking said anything. But I'm just saying, usually as a kind of insurance or whatever, I'll take a quick picture of the wall before I go over it. Again, like I said, doesn't really fucking
depends
matter.
Who you are, mate. Do you know what I mean? If you've got a couple of dubs running, do you know what I mean? You go down legal, do what you fucking want, bruv.
I would say, though, personally, on a personal level, take it or leave it, but I wouldn't go over someone unless you can just do something better. Or, you know, and at the end of the day, that's a very objective thing anyway. So, or
subjective. If you want absolutely no problems, go down there on a sunny day when it's daytime and they'll be like fucking, and just go down there, just paint anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And it'll just look like one of those days where everyone was down out painting, it was sunny, it was legal, it was gay.
Yeah. And also I would say as well, maybe take more than
fine.
I'd say
fucking let them a road.
Take a minute before you paint over something. Just look around it, observe it, see if it's an RIP piece. Because that's the only thing I could see winding someone up nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Even then, though, it still happens. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's illegal. So what the fuck? Yeah, at the end of the day. But if you really want to avoid any sort of backlash or some shit, then I'd probably just take a minute to make sure you're not going over an RIP, I guess. I mean, other than that, I don't know what to say, really. Fuck it. Just, you know.
Shit is serious out here.
You know what I mean? Sorry. I keep going.
It's hard. Imagine if we moved to Australia. Would you just go, I'm taking like the London rules and I'm just coming here. I'm going over wherever I want. Fucking go to some pit, go over some geezer, getting a load of shit.
When I go to a new town, I go to the graph shop in that city, if they have one. Usually most big cities do. And usually the guy working behind there has a little bit of information on what's going on. Sometimes they're helpful, sometimes they're not. But you can always have a little convo with them when you're buying the paint. Oh, I'm going to go paint this spot. Is that cool? And they usually go, yeah, it's cool. And then they will warn you, you know what I mean? They'll kind of maybe give you tips if they notice you're not from there. Sometimes, I mean, I've had that happen to me. People tell me, oh, yeah, you know.
Get some little tips, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, they'll say whether it's super legal or if it's halfway legal, yeah, yeah. You know, just watch it if you're going down there. Or, you know, you'll be fine paying down there or whatever. You know what I mean? Usually, just take a second. You know, or don't. I mean, I don't give a shit, man. Do whatever you fucking want. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Just go up there and just write. Oh, bring on, top of your mom's house. On the wall, man. Fuck them. It's illegal, isn't it? Oh, who gives a days. Shit?
That's right. Probably the longest and worst answer of all time.
Okay, whatever. Shall we go into a little
painting
bit?
Painting illegal.
Let's go into a graph critique. What do you reckon? Yeah? People, keep sending in your graffiti for me and theme to observe and critique. Here we go. Let's go. Here we go. Bing. Bang, bosh. I'm sending it to your WhatsApp now. Last week, someone sent in an amber and theme sketch and we critiqued it. And someone sent in another amber and themos sketch. Have you got it, theme?
Yeah.
I think this was, I mean, to
work out who it's by.
Yeah, I think I remember who sent this in. There's no tag on there, but I'm pretty sure it was Wazok. You remember Wazok? He sent a piece in a good few episodes ago. He had quite a crisp style. I remember quite simple, but a crisp
reach
style. So there you go. What's your first thoughts? It's just a yellow. It's just an orange outline on a white piece of paper. He's put it on top of another piece of paper that he's done some sort of graph on, but you can't really see it because it's obscured. AMBER and Themos, THEMOS. What do you think?
First thoughts are Themos is a nice reach.
Yeah.
If you had a T on the end, it'd be the most. Do you know what I mean? That's just be way too long.
The most. Yo. Hey. Themos. No, that's too much weirdness.
It's already a long reach. But yeah. Putting another T on the end. Fucking hell. But the most. Yeah. I like this. Do you know what this outline reminds me of for some reason? Do you remember that? What's that fucking magazine's name? What was that old school graph magazine? Not Graffitism, but after that.
Bomb the had System. Sketches in it. Oh.
No, it's still HHC hip-hop. HHC magazine. It might have been Underground. It might have been Underground Hip-Hop Magazine or HHC.
HHC was Hip-Hop Connection. They always had a graph section right there.
Someone get their sketches in that? Someone from London got their sketches in that?
Most likely, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. So it reminds me of that.
And you could send sketches in like that. Mate, it reminds me of that. I don't mind it. I like it. It's just a quick one. Whip, A-M-B-E-R. Whip. It's quite neat. I like the first A on the amber, man.
Yeah, I like it. I think I'm not blown away by it. It's very, but again.
To me, it looks like graph.
Exactly. It's nice, and if chunky it was done letters. Nice, chunky
two
letters.
Two window downs.
Yeah, exactly. It's in proportion. It looks cool. They're nice lean to the letters. You know, he's got those little lines in the middle of the letter where it looks like they're like bolted on like metal sheets. You know, when they put a little line with little dots, like as if they're the rivets. That's how I look at them. I mean, those are cool. Shadows all in the right place. You know what I mean? It looks cool. Yeah, he knows what he's doing, man. Big up Wazok. all right, next one. Next one. All right, this.
I like that, son. I like that.
All right, let me send this one. But whoever sent this in, it might get a bit mad because there you go. I've sent it.
We're definitely getting a beating for this.
No, not getting a beating. I know he said what it said, but I can't remember what he said because I can't read that. It looks like REM, REM, but I don't remember it being that. I could be mistaken. What do you think of the outline when you see it? Yeah, REM. REM. It must be.
It does say REM.
With an exclamation mark at the end.
Do you remember those REM tags back in the days?
There was. So this is a different REM because it's definitely not the style of the REM. The REM from London.
That was a nice hand style, those reaches.
Oh, I loved REM. He was one of my favorites. REM. Really simple. And he did the small lowercase e and the m, and his tags would usually stretch sometimes. And they look really cool. Who did he used to write with? He used to write with a bunch of people.
He was up as well, wasn't he? He was up.
Definitely around West London, he was up, man. REM. Yeah.
This, man. You know what I mean? I don't like, I'm trying to find something like a kind of like one of the lines of the exclamation mark.
You know what this? You know what I think when I see this? I think this is done by someone who has never painted a wall. You know what I mean? This is someone who just does it on paper. You know, it looks like one of them type of outlines. I don't know why. The lines are too thin. You should thicken up the outline. If you're doing letters that fat, then the outline, I think, should be a little bit thicker. And if you're going to do a shadow, do a bigger shadow. It seems like he did the shadow really thin because he wasn't very confident about it.
I just don't know what that line is in the first R. That's the bit that's confusing me. Like,
you know,
it's
what?
Got a crack in it or something. If that is an R, then that line there is just completely putting everyone off.
It's weird as fuck. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know what's happening with that line.
It kind of turns it into like a P, and it could be a P I E. I mean, it's just like, what the fuck is going on there? You've got to be careful where you put these lines. If it could extend the other side of the letter by like and miss, you know, make it fucked up.
I haven't even mentioned this is a black and white sketch, by the way. It's just pen on paper. And yeah, what Theme's talking about now is like, I don't know, what do you call them? Ghost lines? It's like when a letter overlaps, the letter that's behind the letter, you do little ghost lines showing where that letter is behind that letter.
He's done it on the M, but that bit.
Yeah, there's a bit at the bottom of the R. Looks weird. Yeah, looks weird.
Is part of the E, then it's even worse because, like, what the fuck is the E coming out that far behind? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes no sense, man. Makes no, well, not to me, yeah. That's,
but look at that. This is Arms House to Your Mum's House. Yeah, this is like a fucking 10-minute critique on a fucking dog shit fucking sketch, bruv. You know what I mean? What can we fucking do, bruv?
Bro, if people send it in, man, we gotta, you know, give them a listen.
Them in, man. But fucking hell. It's like it's done on a fucking McDonald's napkin, bruv.
What
we fucking sending this in? Done it while you're eating a Big Mac. Fucking soldier turned about your sketch. Fucking podcast broke down.
Motherfucker. Fuck. Yo, all right. Big up for sending. Please, people, keep sending in your sketches, man. Yo, Tapas, we ain't heard from you in a while, man. Come on, man. Let's see what's the update, Tapas, man. Come on, man. If we're going to look at book sketches, man, at least make it a Tapas one. You get me. Or someone out there, give us something good to review. Come on, guys. Let's go. All right, man. I mean, yo, I'm pretty much done.
I fucking had a Brazilian bird lined up, ready and waiting, slipping off her chair with excitement for you to come round, and you fucking missed out.
I was ill, man. I've been ill. You can probably hear I'm a bit bunged up.
That this bird was talking about was just sex. The whole
She's Brazilian, man. I mean, what do you
couldn't believe it. Because you were saying they're like the worst type. Of all the Latinas all talk that kind of stereotype of talking about it, you always said Brazilians are the worst. Like, this bird, like, never, never shut up about it.
Wow. But you didn't even describe how she looked. You didn't even tell me what she looked
like. She had everything, bruv. She was older, bruv. So she was like, I don't know, like 49, 50.
Oh, shit.
And she had culo done. Like in Brazil. No. She just come, she came to our house. Yeah, the culo done, like massive.
Yeah.
Not massive, just old. She came to our house straight from
Turkey.
Having like shit pumped in her lips, So she's sitting on this chair like this, and the whole like family's there. It's all birds, it's me and Jade, and that's it, you know what I mean? Because it was my mother-in-law's birthday. I'm just thinking, should I not say this? Because I'll probably get too.
Don't chat too much, Dina. But Theme, why? Thank God I was ill. Imagine I came round and you're like fobbing off this old Brazilian with a flabby BBL, man.
I was doing everything.
Thank God I didn't come, man.
I was feeding her rum and cokes,
But
my mother-in-law and fucking people here just chatting, just all getting pissed and having, because it's her birthday. And I'm just pouring rum and cokes, rum and cokes, rum and cokes, rum and cokes, rum and cokes. They're all getting lit. Eventually got like so fucking raucous. I just left and went to the shops. And fuck, this is ridiculous.
Oh, shit.
She's like sitting like this because her lips are out this way and her ass is she's like brand new, from the shop. he speaks fluent Portuguese. Like, he loves Brazil. Anything you want, like, he fucking loves it. He loves it.
You're thinking me up
when he comes around.
You know what, as well, man? I probably would have come around.
No, maybe we can just be friends for a bit while I'm in England. And I was like, blatantly, just do that. I was going to set you up so joke.
You know what? If you'd fill me with enough rum, I would have looked at her and I would have been like,
I like this right here.
So your house turned into a P. Diddy party, basically. Yeah?
It was a P. Diddy party, mate. Jokes. It was a P. Diddy party.
Peter Diddlington, yo. All right, party people, man. I mean, yo, I'm going to call it a night there. Theme, my brother. What song shall we go out on? What song shall we go out on?
I've got a song we should go out on.
Go on, give me it, man.
Because I would know it's too special to go out on, actually.
Okay, let's just go out on this one. Nah, bruv, nah. Yo, we're going out to the Arms House tune, man. Yo, peace and love, party people.
Respect the nation.
Episode 72.
Devastation.
Be careful out there, Pipe House. To your don't go to your mum's house.
Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?